BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, the show that's all hockey. The Shaw's Star Market Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Can you sit here and say that you would want Cassidy back?
I think we have to look at making some changes as far as how we play and the way we do some of the things. I think Bruce is a fantastic coach. I mean, he's brought a lot of success to this organization. I like him as a coach, so we'll see where it goes. But I do think we need to make some changes, and I think Bruce a couple days ago alluded to that. So we'll see where that goes.
Can you sit here and say that?
That's probably the comment that got the most attention out of anything that Cam Neely said this week. We welcome you into the final hour of the Shaw's and Star Market Hockey Show for this season. Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, Bob Beers here together in our Town Fair Tire Studios. We'll get to more of your calls here in this hour at 617-779-0985. Billy Jaffe also going to join us coming up in about a half hour from now as well for his take on the season recap. What'd you guys think of those comments and Bruce Cassidy and his coaching staff, the job that they have done with this group?
Bruce Cassidy's first full year was 2017-18, 112 points. Since then, it's been 107, 100, 73, but that was in 56 games. Mm-hmm. Same exact winning percentage as this season, where he had 107 points. He's on pace for 107 that year if he played 82 games. And in the season that they had 100 points, that was in 70 games. His teams have been good. They've been very good.
And one Stanley Cup Finals appearance in there.
And one final appearance in 19. They've been very good. They've run into Tampa a couple times. They ran into a team that they've beaten in the playoffs several times, twice, I believe it was, Carolina.
Right.
Carolina had a little burr. You know, they wanted this.
Oh, big time.
They wanted this. You know, and look, you can break down different things that you might not like, roster construction, the draft, the style of play. The success has been there. Regular season success has been there. I mean, they've been a very competitive team for ever since Bruce Cassidy took over this team. And they were before that under Claude Julien as well. They made the change. Since then, it's been, I mean, the point totals speak for themselves. Like in a very competitive league, you're getting over 100 points consistently every year. You're in the mix. You're in the mix. And there's one team that's going to come out of it happy. Right? So some of it you want to, like, it's raw, it's fresh, and they should have done this, they should have done that, and they could have beaten this team. If they could have beaten this team, they could have gone deep. And, you know, Carolina's, like, they're good. They're really good, and they're showing that right now.
I think the two things, you know, since you mentioned Cam's comments that you played coming out of the break, I think it was that the one facet was, hey, maybe we need to sort of look at the way we play. I think the other facet was, you know, and I don't remember the exact quote. I'll try and paraphrase, but some of our younger players were maybe afraid to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
So there were two different things that he had mentioned about the coaching staff. Now, we won't even know if Cassidy's coming back until Don Sweeney has his extension in place, because Cam Sweeney made it clear and apparent that it's Sweeney's decision to make on the coach. So once that's finalized, then we're going to find out.
I get, and this is just, I have no knowledge of this. It's just, doesn't some of it depend on Bergeron? Like I'm saying that if Bergeron does not come back, then you had that little taste of, okay, did we go into a little bit of a rebuild?
Right.
Oh, and by the way, well, Marchand may need hip surgery.
Yeah, and if you're going to go that direction, is that a good time to make the change?
Well, and there's a legitimate because there's a little
Bruce Cassidy
legitimate
would
question.
Would have a job tomorrow.
No question.
If that happens. There's
a legitimate question about, you know, would Bruce Cassidy be the right coach to lead a rebuilding team full of young players? Because part of what I think Neely is talking about in there is, you know, we got players who are afraid of making mistakes because they're worried about, are they going to be out there the next game? You know, and that's part of Cassidy's style too. But it's if you're trying to win hockey games,
if you're trying to win
the
games, and you're in a position to win, if you're in a position to rebuild, that's different. But if you're in a position to win, that's everywhere. You name me a coach that's not like that. If you're in a position to win, that he's going to allow, you know, a young player to go out there and make defensive mistakes or turn the puck over in the wrong area, and they're not going to get put on the bench. Sorry. I don't care anything about the new NHL and the way you handle players. I get all that, but not when you're in a position to win.
Two things kind of come to mind. Well, first of all, with Bruce Cassidy, one of the guys that he has really taken a lot from is a guy he played for, and that's Daryl Sutter, who's up for Coach of the Year. Mm-hmm. Had a phenomenal year with the Calgary Flames. I think the other thing is, you know, to your question, let's say you rebuild, is Bruce Cassidy the right guy to lead a younger team? Didn't he coach in Providence for a long time and teach some of the guys, you know, or a lot of the guys that populated your roster, you know, as like Marchand and Rask? And, you know, how many guys do we have to go through, either forwards, defensemen, or goalies, that he had a chance to work with or had his fingers on at the American Hockey League level? So I don't think there's any question that he can coach young players.
There are different rules for different players.
There always will be.
There are different. I mean, you got certain guys that are going to get a lot more rope, and you got other guys that have to earn it. And until they earn it, you know, they're held accountable when they make bad mistakes. You know, look, if Pastrnak turns a puck over, or if Marchand turns a puck over at the offensive blue line trying to make a play, they're going to be more upset with themselves, right? Right. And they know that but they're going to get that rope to try to make those plays, because when they make them, they're great. Now, it gets to a point where it's happening too much. They have to have a chat with them, right? But we had that conversation at the beginning of the show here. I think when things aren't going well, guys try to do too much at times. And if that's a product of them caring too much, well, I'll live with that, you know, and work with that. But younger guys are not – younger players who are just – are trying to make their name in the NHL, it doesn't matter what team you're on. It doesn't matter what coach you're playing for. Unless it's, like I said, a complete rebuild, and you're going to allow guys to try to play through some of those
things, right.
You're going to hear it, and you're going to see it in video. So – I don't know. Young guys afraid to make mistakes because they might not be. Well, welcome to the NHL, man.
Well, even Cam Neely had mentioned that, you know, that was something he had to grow and learn from, you
right.
know, as a younger player who was coming up in the National Hockey League. But in the bigger picture with a coach, no matter how good the coach, there is a time at some point where the players tune him out for one reason or another. I don't think that we're there with Bruce Cassidy. They certainly responded.
He's got the luxury of having the leadership, and he's got
huge.
He's got the backing of the leadership. So, you know, you better toe the line, or else, you know, you're out. And we've seen this over the years, right? I mean, so
absolutely,
certain guys have been traded and been dealt that maybe didn't want to conform to the way things are done.
That was the Ken Hitchcock theory. I coached the core. The core coaches the team.
Right.
That's the way he did it.
Well, but as the core ages out and moves on,
that's
you get
my point about Bergeron.
Different voices
right.
leading
that's where it
in that room.
That's my point about Bergeron. If Bergeron decides to retire, do you make a wholesale change? And that's, I think that that a lot of it, a lot of it hinges on his decision. I believe that.
Well, then you got to, I think, and then you have to forecast even further. You know,
yeah.
What's the status of Marchand's hip? You have David Pastrnak, who is a year away from possibly testing the market. How does that work? And if you are going to go full rebuild, well, you just signed Lindholm and McAvoy to some big time extensions. How does that impact some of your thinking going forward? There's a lot to digest there.
All right, let's get back to your calls. Matt is in Weymouth. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, guys. First time, long time.
Thank you.
Hey, just real quick, you talked about Bergeron being almost done and, you know, one last run, or maybe there's another run next year or whatever. But I feel like management should have been more willing to, you know, go all in and take, you know, unnecessary risks, if you will. And I'll hang up and listen. I just want to, you know, are we watching them play the Rangers tomorrow with if they brought in Evander Kane?
I appreciate the call. I mean, should they have overextended themselves at the deadline to say, this is it, we're going, you know,
well, he
we're
mentioned
going
Evander Kane. That was before the deadline. That was that's a risk bringing him into your room. That's
right.
A risk, obviously it is, but no question about the way he can play. Trust me, in some of our conversations away from the rink, away from the microphone, Kane's name came up.
Oh, yeah.
Would you consider taking a chance on him? And maybe they talked to him. I don't know. Maybe they didn't. Who knows? But and there's other guys as well. Hey, Carolina's getting full marks for Tony D'Angelo.
Tony D'Angelo, yeah.
Right? So
1 year, $1 million deal.
Right.
Huge value if these guys can, you know, short term and, you know, keep their noses out of issues. And by all accounts, Kane's had a couple interesting things, but he's produced.
Yeah.
He had a very good season. 20 goals in what? after he scored.
Sorry, just putting
after
up
he
seven
scored
fingers.
Against LA, he put up seven fingers. Evander, is that because you have seven goals in the series, or was that for Game 7?
Yes, it is.
Oh, we have Game 7 too. He didn't say that. I'm kidding. I'm being sarcastic.
Right.
He answered it the right way, but
well, I think the other thing to think about with Evander Kane, and obviously,
or I'm getting seven times yeah. seven next year,
that he could have gone to any team. You know, even if the Bruins were poking around, and I have no idea if they weren't, that ultimately it was up to him because he became a free agent right. because he was let go by San Jose.
Yeah, I mean, the player like that, you just, is it worth the risk? It's
yeah.
a risk rewards. You know the guy's talented, but you also might be throwing a stick of dynamite into your locker room.
Self-destruct at any minute. Yeah.
Well, the track record's there. I mean, Winnipeg wanted him out. Buffalo had to have him out. San Jose. One, they had to have him out. That's three teams.
Let's go to Brian in the car up next on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys. I've been a fan of the team since the 70s. Bob, I was at the first game that he played for the Bruins. I'm really, truly tired of this ownership group. I think they inspired him to mediocrity, and in fact, by bringing Don Sweeney back, they rewarded. The drafting problems have been talked about, breathlessly this morning. You know, that's a problem. But what's a, you know, continued problem is that, you know, you talk about building the team from within. Well, you can't build a team from within when you keep trading away your draft picks. And, you know, the Lindholm deal seems like a good deal, but you know, you gave up a first rounder. I think the team is in drastic need of a rebuild right now. But I think the ownership, who wants the playoff gates, will not allow that. And I just think, you know, you've talked about the regular season. Your longtime fans are tired of the regular season, guys. I don't want any more Adams Division banners in the rafters. I want championships. I want a team that's going to win championships. And the Bruins are always falling short, I think, because of the short-sightedness of their ownership group and their management.
I appreciate the call, Brian. You know,
well, so, yeah, I get the frustration. I do. I mean, I want to see them win as well. If you look at the last, since the Bruins won the Cup in 11, all right, what teams have had success in the NHL? Pittsburgh, right? Two Cups, correct?
Chicago won it twice.
Chicago twice since then, right? And Tampa. Isn't everybody else trying to get back, get to that spot? Everybody's trying to get to that spot. And I'm not excusing, but I'm saying that it's not easy. You know, you need a lot of things to fall for you in order to get there and have that success. And, you know, now Pittsburgh's dealing with issues. They haven't been able to get out of the first round in the last few years, and they're talking about what to do. Toronto hasn't gotten out of the first round in how many years?
03, 04.
Yeah. Right? And, God, no matter what our talk's like, can you imagine what Toronto's talk is like right now?
But they're staying the course.
You know, so the teams that have had success, there's a small number of them, a small number of them. And, you know, look at what Chicago going through right now after they've won a couple of, they won three cups, but I think two of them since 11, correct?
13 yeah. and 15.
So, I mean, and they're going through full rebuild right now.
Mm.
Pittsburgh might have to do the same thing. They've got, you know, Malkin, Letang, Rust, you know, Rodriguez. I mean, they've got all kinds of guys up for unrestricted free agency right now. What direction are they going?
And you had an ownership change.
Ownership, yeah.
So, which way does the Fenway Sports Group want Ron Hextall and Brian Burke to take the team?
Sounds like they don't want to spend big money on Letang and Malkin, that's for sure.
Most teams,
Trevor Story play wing?
Most teams go home disappointed, right? Especially when you get knocked out in the first round. Most teams go home disappointed. And that's where the Bruins are sitting right now.
I will continue here on the final half hour, the final hour of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show for the 2021-22 season here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Go, go, go!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I don't think things have changed other than he's happier, you know, because his lot in life improved an awful lot. And he deserves a lot of credit for that, okay? He went out and did perform. Maybe it's a clearer headspace that he defined, not really thinking about things. Now he's, you know, might take some time and reevaluate and realize that, like, you know, I peeked over the neighbor's yard and the grass is not necessarily greener. My lawn's looking pretty damn good, too.
Don Sweeney talking about Jake DeBrusk, who, of course, asked for a trade during the course of this season. Trade never materialized. He stuck around, put up some pretty good numbers, played pretty well down the stretch, got a chance to play with Bergeron and Marchand. That certainly helped along the way. So we'll see what comes of that in this offseason. I can tell you this, if you end up making a trade now, and send Jake DeBrusk out, you're selling much higher position than you would have been if you did it before the trade deadline when he was, you know, people were saying, you got to get rid of this guy, but you would have been selling at the very, very bottom of the market. So he improved his standing one way or the other, whether he's sticking around here or not.
Well, you mentioned who he ended up playing with Marchand and Bergeron, but I think it's Jake in particular who earns a lot of the credit. Not to take away anything from his line mates who were terrific all season long, but I think it's Jake did the things that the coaching staff and even Jake was expecting from himself. Second effort, influencing the game when you're not scoring, influencing the game with your feet. He did a lot of that. He did a lot of the things that you were asking from him. That started to materialize, and as a result, the offense started to come.
He did some of that with Coyle, too. You know, he was always like, they started the overtimes. Coyle DeBrusk would start the overtimes. Mm-hmm. You know, they killed penalties together. He had some chemistry, I think, with Coyle at different situations, not necessarily 5-on-5. But in some of those situations, I mean, the huge goal that they scored, right? Coyle scored shorthanded. That changed the whole complexion of that game against Carolina. You're down 1-0 at home. Ugh. And you're shorthanded late in the first period. You know, prospect going down 2-0 going into the intermission. Instead, you get a shorthanded goal. Now it's 1-1. I don't know if it was the same game or not, but he scored on the power play, which was a controversial goal in Carolina's minds. And but then they allowed the goal that was on the power play. So, you know, he was involved in a big way, in a good way. I think that there were some times, certainly down in Carolina, he scored in game 7. But when he had an opportunity on the power play, we were kind of pushing for that for a little while, waiting to see if they would make that change and go with DeBrusque. He had the hot hand. He's got the legs. You know, he's going. And they eventually did put him on the power play, and it worked to a certain degree, but in certain games, you know, it wasn't necessarily there.
Let's go to David in Westwood up next on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning, David.
Hey, how are you guys?
Morning.
Hey, I just had a quick question for you, especially with the impending retirement of Patrice Bergeron. What would it take to get somebody like Mark Scheifele out of Winnipeg?
Well,
anything?
I hadn't thought about it. I love him as a player. Apparently, he did not request a trade out of Winnipeg. That was the word out of Winnipeg. They're looking for a coach, are they not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to take you a lot.
Chevalier, I've got an extension, but it's going to take an awful lot. They regard him pretty highly up there.
He's got 2 more years left at 6.125.
Good, young, strong centerman. Absolutely. I would love him. Sure.
It's going to take...
where do you start, you know?
Whether it's Mark Scheifele or anybody else, you know, I think that's the other thing that you got to think in mind. You know, you're not getting the old, you know, bag of pucks, player to be named later for Mark Scheifele. You're going to have to give up some quality. It's going to hurt whoever you're going to have to give up. You're going to have to give up quality to get quality.
That's the type of player that you... That type, yes. I mean that name right there. Yeah, that piques my interest. Well, but we're you know, yeah. I don't want to go down that road just yet. Yeah. But it's just, you know what I mean. But that's who you need. That's the type of player you would need. Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's two guys. I mean, you've got Pierre-Luc Dubois is a restricted free agent. He just finished his deal, making 5 schmil. Obviously, he's going to command, a pretty good number.
He's going to want a lot.
And then the other question is, does he want to stay in Winnipeg? Even though he's restricted, you know, he can still kind of call the shots here a little bit. He didn't want to stay in Columbus. Does he want to stay in Winnipeg?
And then do you want somebody like that? He didn't want to be here. Didn't want to be there.
Yeah, how long until he doesn't want to be here?
And now we're back to the Evander Kane conversation.
High opinion of himself.
Right.
Peter in Providence is up next. What's up, Peter?
Good morning, guys. I'm not really a hockey guy, to be honest with you. A little bit, but not huge, like, you know, the Patriots or whatever. And I know this is your show, but you guys were talking about Bruce Cassidy earlier. And I can tell you, stand-up guy, about 5-6 years ago, I ran the Providence Youth Lacrosse System. And I didn't have an assistant coach. I started a new kindergarten program. And I asked the parents, can anybody be the assistant coach? You know, anybody know any lacrosse, this and that? And one guy reached out to me, and it was Bruce, and I didn't even know who he was, to be honest with you. And he said, I don't play lacrosse. I got my season to finish. We don't make the playoffs, this and that. Then I can help you out. So I was like, okay. And I didn't even know who he was. He shows up in practice. They didn't make the playoffs. And then one of the other parents goes, that's Bruce Cassidy. He runs the Providence Bruins. That's when he was back with Providence. I can tell you who he's as a man. I can't tell you who he's as a manager, okay, or a coach. I think he does a good job. But as a man, the guy's got integrity. The guy's cool as a cucumber, sweetheart, nice, nice guy. And I'm telling you, it's not the problem. The problem is the drafting, the second and third line. That's it. This guy should stay there. I'm 100% behind him. I'm telling you, as a man, he's a stand-up guy. That's all I wanted to say.
All right.
I got his back.
Appreciate the call, Peter. And I don't think anybody questions that about Bruce Cassidy. It's, you know, again, it's about approach. It's about, you know, does he fit what they, you know, the players that they're bringing in? That sounds like the decision that, you know, that Cam Neely has given Don Sweeney. It's like, is this the guy that you want operating things with the players that you're bringing in? Let's grab one more. We've got Matt in the truck up next. Sorry, we lost Matt. Let's go to Brian in Boston up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Just curious if you think that Cassidy should get a little more credit for getting the best out of DeBrusque. It's not like he's had been lighting the world on fire the last couple of years. He sits him down. He has that response, you know, not great that it gets leaked to the media, but then he makes the move also to put him up on the first line. So he had the best part of his career, you know, at responding to that situation.
All right. I mean, as far as the DeBrusque thing, like, you know, who deserves credits? Like, well, you basically beat the same message into DeBrusque for years, and then you got a response out of him in the, you know, in the latter half of this year. So is it the message finally got through? Is it something that clicked in him? Was it something to do with his situation in trying to play his way out of town and say, all right, if I want to play somewhere else, I have to perform? I mean, there's a lot of things that went into that.
I think certainly, you know, listen, both guys had a hand in this, but to use Bruce Cassidy's favorite saying, at the end of the day, it falls on Jake, and Jake pulled it off.
Yeah, he had really good success playing with Krejci, right? I think he had 27 goals playing with Krejci the one season, and he was on the first power play unit. If you're going to go up and play with, and he had to play his off wing, if you're going to go up and play with Bergeron and Marchand, you better bring it. They're going to demand it. And if you're not, you're gone. I mean, we're going to try to find somebody else. And, you know, you always got Pastrnak sitting there if you want to make that change, which they did a couple of times. But you've got to bring it. So it does fall on Jake. And Jake is a, from the outside looking in, from watching him over the last several years, when he's playing with confidence, he's a difference maker. But when the body language shows up, and he's really slow to get up after he falls down or goes down, and the shoulders slump, and he's going back to the bench, and the confidence isn't there, I mean, that his game can go south in a hurry. But he played with confidence, you know, and he was challenged to play with confidence if he's going to play with those guys, if those two, because they're going to be dependent on every night, whether it's and you're going to go against top defensive units every night when you're with that line. So you've got to be able to bring it, and I give him credit for doing that. Now, what happens moving forward? And we had that question. We said, all right, you know, he doesn't get traded. Which direction is he going to go? Is he going to slump, or is he going to excel? He's got a new contract coming up. At the deadline, we thought he'd be traded after he signed that new deal. He was not, and I certainly had my questions which direction he was going to go. And, you know, happily he went the right way. So now what? Is he here? Is he part of this team? Is he re-energized coming into next year? Or did they make that trade here in the offseason and honor that trade request? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that right now.
If there's a coaching change, does that change the way he feels about whether he wants to be here or not?
He's certainly a guy, but he's a guy that when he goes south, it's so obvious, and then maybe it gets in his head and Bruce Cassidy's on him, and, you know, the coaching staff's on him, and they show him, you know, whatever, and all of a sudden he's a healthy scratch, or his ice time gets cut. That weighs heavily on guys. You want them to care, but it weighs heavily on guys, and does it affect their game, and how does it affect their game?
All right, we got one more half hour to go with you at 617-779-0985. We also are going to be chatting with Billy Jaffe coming up next on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the flagship station of the Boston Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
If you really love hockey, this is your show.
They score!
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Our season finale winding down. But not before we talk to our friend Billy Jaffe from Nesson and the NHL Network, joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning, RJ. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Just kind of putting a bow on this season that ends a little bit too early for anybody's liking. Difficult to answer questions about, you know, what the expectations are for this offseason without knowing the future of Patrice Bergeron yet. But that's, you know, that's what the team is kind of has to deal with. What do they need to do in this offseason, Bergeron back or not, to you know, and what direction do you think that they head in here as far as can they keep this team or improve this team and make it a true Stanley Cup contender? Do they need to lean more toward the rebuild? Where do you fall on that?
Well, that's a lot to unpack, but because you can't really make a, at least I think, an accurate until you know if Patrice is coming back or not. If Patrice is coming back, you're gonna quote, go for it. Whether that means you can legitimately win the Stanley Cup, I don't know. I'd have to see what they do. I would think the consensus is that they need to get another center. They need to get have some more pricks on the back end, to use the terms of that we heard earlier in the season from Coach Cassidy. They need to get some more snarl in general in their game. I mean, it's you know, if Patrice doesn't come back, it sure feels like, even though you've got some really nice pieces, you know, what do you get, you know, whether because of Charlie and Hampus and the Pasternak, et cetera, but what are you going to do with them? Are you going to say to them, hey guys, you know, we're going to muddle along for a couple of years, or we're going to maybe take one step back to take two steps forward? It's a big if right now. And Patrice, though, his scenario, I think, controls the whole decision-making process.
We haven't really talked much about the decor, which is for the most part locked up here. I mean, you've got, you know, almost everybody under contract for at least the next 2 years, and McAvoy and Carlo and Lindholm for a lot longer than that. Grizzlick's shoulder injury is troubling, because if you were going to move him, obviously that potentially puts a kibosh on that. So what do you think they do back there? And you talked about, you know, maybe needing some more snarl back there. How do you make that work?
Well, I mean, they're definitely they re-signed Zboril to a 2-year deal. They had higher hopes for him before the knee injury. He was playing pretty well. And I felt like we were seeing a rebirth, or at least a debut of what we think that Zboril could be before he got the knee injury. So my guess is you've got repetitive assets, you know, similar assets on the back end between the aforementioned Grizzlick, Mike Riley, Zboril. You're going to have to, it's obvious, you're going to move one of them. You have to. You know, they might be locked up contractually, but that in theory could help for moving one of them. They're going to have to be aggressive, because they have to change some of the DNA of the back end if they're going to be more successful, in my opinion.
I'll ask you the same question up front. I mean, you know, a lot was talked about in the Cam Neely, Don Sweeney press conferences about needing a bit of a different approach, needing, you know, to play a different way, particularly when it gets into the postseason. You know, I posed the question to these guys earlier today. It's like, do they have the bodies to do that, or is that going to require a change of a significant change of personnel?
Yeah, you're going to have to make some personnel changes. I think to deliver what their vision of the team is. I think you're going to have to. You're going to have to add a little bit more. I think a little bit more size, or players that play perhaps a little bigger. We're seeing teams where their D are all. You know, we saw it in Carolina. It's outside of Tony D'Angelo. I think Brendan Smith, if I remember correctly, was the smallest at 6'1", 200, and he plays a bit bigger. You know, Cole is only 6'1", but like 208, but he definitely plays bigger. And so the Bruins are going to need some guys that can handle, or better handle, those type of players to get interior presence. Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you look at this team after and looking at other teams that are still playing in the NHL playoffs, you're going to have to make some personnel changes, I think, to be able to accomplish the type of hockey that was discussed.
What did you make of the comments about needing to see some changes as far as coaching? Does that mean personnel changes? Does that mean approach changes? How drastic do you think they might go in that direction?
Well, I hope it's maybe stylistically more than anything. I'm a big fan of Bruce Cassidy's. I think he's a hell of a coach. I mean, look at the numbers and look at everything he's done in the and not so such a short period of time now with the Boston Bruins. I think he's got a great mind, and he has a look. His structure wins. You can't deny that. Look at his .650 winning percentages the last couple of years. They win, and win. I do think that they're going to have conversation about stylistically, and that might be something a little different for Bruce to take into consideration. You know, if they want to just get pucks in certain places, again, I think they're going to have to change. They're going to have to alter some of their personnel. That's what I think.
Billy Jaffe joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Speaking of coaches, we shift gears here a little bit. There's some decent coaching talent that has found itself headed to the unemployment line this offseason. What has happened? I mean, look, were you surprised? First of all, were you surprised with Barry Trotz getting bounced?
Yes, I was. Considering that on the surface, there is probably not a better GM president and coach combo made. You know what I mean? Just the mindset, the type of, you know, game that they play. But, you know, I don't know. Lou Lamoriello, after looking at it and everything, and then he goes out and hires Lane Lambert right away. He's been Barry Trotz's longtime assistant. I don't know. I wonder if there was a personality thing there. You know, I'm not sure between Barry and Lou. If only because, you know, Lane's going to be a little different, no question. He'll bring in some of his own stuff in, no question. But it's still going to have some elements that a lot of the Barry stuff as well. And, you know, this team had what a crappy year. I mean, starting with the 13-game road trip because of the UBS Arena being finished and then getting decimated by COVID. I think it was them in Ottawa that got crushed by COVID right away more than anybody. And then beset by injuries. And then, all right, and then they were pretty damn good the second half of the year. So I was very surprised in that regard. And, I mean, but Lou's Lou. But this was a little bit of a head-scratcher here. That makes me just wonder, talking or thinking out loud, if there was any kind of a little bit of a, well, you know, I've seen this enough or whatever, and conflict with person. But I say a conflict, maybe just disagreement.
Where does Trotz go then? I mean, there's some really, really attractive vacancies out there. And if you look at Vegas, does Dallas fall into that category?
See, Dallas is, yeah, Beersy, Dallas just opening up, because I had heard that Rick Bonus would probably be back. And I heard it was his decision. And, you know, I heard, well, it's just going to be him going. And then meanwhile, it's 95% of the assistants. So that's a bit one. Like, to me, okay, first of all, Barry Trotz is going to have to go to a place where they're going to pay him between $5 and $6 million a year. That's what I'm hearing. Okay. So they got to find a place. By the way, Philadelphia.
That place that would pay. Yep.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go there.
Nobody's mentioned Winnipeg yet. But
Andrew Brunette does not have a contract to be the head coach.
And neither does King of Chicago, doesn't. Correct?
Who's that?
King doesn't in
Chicago.
Derek doesn't. He's an interim.
King does not.
Head coach. There's so many spots right now. It's like pick a coaching vacancy. The Vegas, supposedly he's already interviewed with Winnipeg. Supposedly he's talked to Vegas. You know, but you got to look at that and you say, you know, what you want to hitch your coaching wagon to the goaltending of Robin Leonard for, I believe it's 3 years that he's got left on his contract.
Oh.
So I'm curious if that comes into play.
They can't even put out 20 players because of their salary cap.
I know. I think Dallas becomes an incredibly attractive opportunity for him.
In some ways not. Right, Billy? You've got two guys that are making a ton of money that have
no question
have really struggled here, whether it's injuries or miles. I mean, Sagan's not the same player that he once was, and Ben, he's capable of bringing it, you know, once in a while, but I don't know about a whole season. I mean, they counted on Joe Pavelski and his line all year long to be able to score.
Right, with Robertson, who was excellent, and Rupe Hintz. I wonder with that D crew, though, Great goalie. I wonder what that D crew, though, with some of Barry Trotz's kind of pixie dust and his style. Now, I don't know if every player loves the style, but if he can do that, and maybe he doesn't need to try and get as much. It's a different type of style for a Ben and a Sagan. I don't know, but I think there's an interest, a curiosity there because of the D crew. You bring up the goaltending and Jake Oettinger. You want to talk about a coming out party in the playoffs. Jake Oettinger was right at the top of that list.
I just want to go back to the Islanders for a second, since we were talking about Trotz and his departure there with Lou Lamoriello. I did find it very interesting that part of the thing that Lou had talked about, the Islanders, they could defend, but they couldn't score, could not score. And Lou Lamoriello said, we're going to make some hockey trades to see if we can improve that. But over the years, he may have made some decisions on some guys out of loyalty that cost the team. How good would Devon Taves look on the back end for the Islanders right now as he is playing for the Colorado Avalanche? You decided to spend that money elsewhere. You had to trade Nick Leddy. You had to get out from under that contract because you didn't have room. And you wanted to sign Cizikas and Martin and keep these guys together. They re-upped with Cal Clutterbuck, did they not?
Yeah.
JT yeah. Pageot, listen, good player. I mean, they signed him to a pretty lucrative deal.
But, 5 years.
But yeah. As a result, it's gonna come back to cost you at some point. And so Barry Trotz is the guy who goes, even though you didn't necessarily have the personnel to get you into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, but that's Lou's, the beauty of being the GM president. You know, it's his choice how he wants to look at it. I don't know. Maybe, he says he's going to make some hockey trades now. Well, let's see what they do, because they don't score a ton. They, we did see them play playoffs or last playoffs against the Bruins, and then they lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they were able to put up just enough goals to get to the Eastern Final, Conference Final again. It's a tiresome way to play. It's a very physical grind it out play style. Let's see. I mean, does Lane Lambert open it up a little bit more too? Maybe. Maybe that's what he does, and maybe that's what Lou Lamoriello saw in him for the period of time where he coached while Barry was on the COVID list.
And maybe, I'm just wondering. Now, we didn't, obviously get a chance to talk to anybody during the course of the season, but it sounded like Barzal and the way he interacted and the response he got from Barry Trotz, it went south this year for some reason.
Oh, wait, yeah, they get treated a little differently? Is that, okay. I think we had that conversation a little while ago.
Well, there's going to be some heat on some general managers. That's the way I look at it around the National Hockey League. If I count it up, I think there's about 8 potential coaching openings during the offseason as we sit here right now. So once those guys get hired, then I think a lot of the focus, depending on who the general manager is, that there will be some pressure on those guys. Okay, this is your, how many choices have you made behind the bench, or what's your choice behind the bench, and what result are we getting? I think it's going to shift from the coaches to the GMs here in the next year or two.
Well, it might, but we haven't even brought up what might be the most desirable coaching position open in the league right now. Hear me out on this. I mean, Dallas is interesting. Vegas, kind of. I mean, I'm not completely sure. But how about the Detroit Red Wings? I mean, they're still in build mode, but you got Seider. You got
Raymond.
It's Raymond. You don't have a goalie.
Bertuzzi, that's what Larkin.
They're going to have to address their goaltending. And I think they have a kid they drafted last year in the first round, if I remember correctly. But here you've still got a couple more years of build mode. And Stevie Yzerman, I'd be shocked if he didn't add a solid, and I'm talking a solid player or two in the offseason to help build. I mean, a guy that I was talking about the other night on the air is Brian Rust, who's a UFA, and he's from, I believe,
Pontiac.
It's Troy, Michigan. He's Pontiac. Thank you, Pontiac. Why wouldn't he, what I think would be interested, and can they afford him in Pitt? Think so. Depending on if they keep, I don't see them keeping Malkin there, but Letang maybe. But I mean, my point is this: that's a job opening. That yes, the Red Wings struggled. We knew that. We saw it. I don't think anybody sitting in the studio or me right now thought that they were going to be a team that would be dynamic. But they are better, and they're on the up. And you've got a guy who did almost the exact same type of build with Tampa Bay. looks like he's doing with Detroit. If you're a good coach, I mean, you might want to say, I'm on board here for a couple of tougher years, but then to pay, you know, the benefit of, you know, playing for the future instead of the right now is there.
Billy, we'll let you go on that. Appreciate your time this week and throughout the course of the season. Been great talking with you, and have a good summer, my friend.
Hey, guys, it's always a pleasure being on the best hockey show around. I'm not talking in Boston. This is a great show. So thanks to Judd and Beardsy and you, RJ, for having me around and everything. A lot of fun, guys. Have a great offseason.
All right, thanks.
Thanks. Thanks, Billy.
And same to you guys. Wish it was a little bit shorter of a summer.
Is that our last time in this studio, you think?
Yes. We are back. We are into new digs by the time the season rolls around in the fall. So,
oh, they left it immaculate.
but it's been fun working with you guys again this year, and hit them straight. We'll have a good summer.
Yeah. Thanks, Ren.
All right, that's it for this season of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Stick around for Gasper and Murray next.
You're listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on Boston's home of the Bruins, 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, the home of the Patriots, the Celts, the Rams, and the Bruins.
Center, they score!
Boston's home for sports is 98.5, the Sports Hub, a Beasley Media Group station. Sports Hub headlines.
The Celtics host the Heat for Game 3 of their Eastern Conference Final Series tonight at TD Garden. The series tied at a game apiece. Celtics expected to have everyone healthy and available for tonight's game. The Heat's Kyle Lowry, P.J. Tucker, Gabe Vincent, all questionable. Join Grandy and Max for the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub pregame at 8, tip-off a little after 8:30. Out west last night, Warriors 126-117 win over the Mavericks. Golden State leads that series 2-0. The Red Sox picked up their third straight win, beating the Mariners last night at Fenway 7-3. Trevor Story led the offense with a grand slam. Game 3 of the 4-game series gets going today at 4:10. Garrett Whitlock on the mound for the Sox against Seattle's Robbie Ray. In the NHL last night, Hurricanes over the Rangers 2-0. Carolina leads that series 2-0. Edmonton took a 5-3 win over the Flames. That series is tied at a game apiece. Dallas Stars announced head coach Rick Bonus is stepping down. Some NFL news. The Colts reportedly in negotiations to sign free agent quarterback Nick Foles to back up Matt Ryan. Revolution in action tonight on the road against FC Cincinnati. Kickoff 6 o'clock here on the Sports Hub. And two rounds complete at the PGA Championship. Will Zalatoris is your leader at 9-under par, one shot ahead of Mito Pereira, Justin Thomas 3 back, and Bubba Watson in 4th place after firing a PGA record-tying 63 yesterday. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Wedgewood Pines Country Club in Stowe. Now accepting reservations for golf outings for the 2022 season. Wedgewood Pines provides outings for group sizes from 20 to 128 golfers. Visit wedgewoodpines.com. I'm Ryan Johnston on Boston Soap for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines next hour.
All the trolls come out at night.
Right, forgot about that. Shame on me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out of town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.